Good afternoon. Hello, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Art Speak Radio. Yay. This is your radio station. Thank you so much for tuning in today, making us a priority. Also want to thank everyone who called in last week for our fall pledge drive. You know, that keeps this radio station going. For many more years, we're going to be celebrating our 30th anniversary next year. So thank you so much for your support. Hey, today I've got a gaggle of artists, a pod of artists. What would you call them? little cuckoo. I've got a group of local artists here in the studio. Ada Koch, Hugh Merrill, Sonny Ruffin, Janet Simpson, Jose Fass, and Michael Toombs. They're all here in the studio today. And, you know, we were all brought together by the lovely Janet Simpson, who brought us together for a panel discussion last month, September 16th, to the Kansas City Artists Coalition. It was a discussion about what are artists thinking about this time in our history when there is so much turmoil and division, when much of what we value is being dismissed, undermined, or destroyed. So that was all. That was last month for the Truth, Trust, Transcend panel discussion. And I'm going to turn it over to Janet Simpson so she can talk a little bit more about that and sort of what was her inspiration for that. So welcome, Janet.
Thank you, Maria. Yes, the Truth, Trust, Transcend panel was developed part of a theme of a large exhibition we did that had about 60 artists from really all over the country. And the artists here, the visual artists, were in that show. When we developed that concept almost 2 years ago, I was thinking a lot about the violence in our society, in particular the violence against black men. And I felt like, how can we possibly get past this? And I wanted to see if artists were thinking anything about it. And I talked with a board member, Sonny Ruffin, and we came up with the idea that if you could get to the truth of the situation, whatever that was, and then if you could, with truth, maybe build trust. And if you could have trust, then maybe you could transcend that. And somehow all of that could empower artists and our society to move forward in a more positive way. So we're still grappling with that. As that subject was developed like over 2 years ago, clearly more and more things have been layered onto the discussion. And we feel like it's every bit as pertinent this moment in time as it was 2 years ago. So I just want to hear what creative thinkers are thinking.
Sure, sure. So, you know, I'm going to introduce Michael Toombs, who's right here next to Janet. And Michael, if you would say a little bit about yourself, tell our listeners what you want them to know about you.
Well, good morning or afternoon.
Afternoon,
on the cusp.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm kind of focused these days on interactive arts education, primarily because I've been trying to find ways to bring art into the community in such a way that it can help bridge some of the challenges that we're having socially and economically. Doing that, I've been contacted a couple of times by different people. I've been here in the last 10 years working for Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, facilitating programs to provide adults with a way of getting out from under pending felony charges, mainly because, you know, once that thing's put on you, it's on you for the rest of your life. It makes it difficult for you to be a citizen. That process is accompanied by, you know, other types of treatments, you know, drug treatment and other required curriculum that they have to complete over a 13-month process. The other project that I get asked to do quite a bit is with the mayor of Kansas City and Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, Teens in Transition. And so we work with a lot of the young people who are having a real difficult time in our city and who's causing some issues, and some of them are just having things done to them. We facilitate a program twice a year. It's art integrated, which makes it a little more accessible to the young people. And it provides them with an opportunity to get a chance to earn some money in the summertime.
Beautiful.
Learn some developmental skills that they may have not received in the process of growing up, and puts them on a path to being able to achieve some positive outcomes a little earlier than maybe the trajectory they were on.
Beautiful. Thank you for your work. And next to Michael, we have Sunny Ruffin. Sunny, if you want to come up to the microphone.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Oop, a little bit closer.
Can I do that?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. You're my guest.
How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you so much for coming in today. So tell us, tell listeners what you want them to know about you and your work.
I'm a textile artist. My work is dedicated to the African-American narrative. It shares stories not only from my life but from the overall experience of being an African-American as well as an African-American woman. I address issues just as Janet was talking about. How do you deal with things? And art seems to be a platform that has allowed me to deal with different issues. The violence that's taking place at the present time against African-American men, and not only African-American men, but folk in general, things that are occurring, it allows conversation, it creates dialogue, and it allows people to come in and be able to be comfortable in a setting where they can have that conversation about some of the violence that's taking place and hopefully solve a few problems along the way. I think it's extremely important. I think that it creates opportunities for not only discussions, but again, you know, problem solving, things of that sort. I'm working with a group of young people now, teaching them pattern making taking one piece of paper and turning that into a pattern, something that's positive, something that they can do that will get them out of that state of boredom. And that's extremely important now. So that's what I do.
Terrific. Very good. And next up, we have Jose Faust. If you want to, you can grab that microphone, too. We've got you in stereo.
My name is Jose Faust. I don't know. I get called an artist, community activist. I think I'm just an artist really just living a creative life full of champagne and cheese and receptions.
Caviar.
And parties. Bank accounts. I think it's just... I think it's just really more about showing up. If there is a conversation to be had about an issue, that's a difficult one to address. Race is a difficult issue to talk about in this town, in any town, I found out. So any opportunity that you can engage. But also, so I work through any variety of means. I can work through talking to people directly, going to presentations at schools, any place, any platform you provide, but also in my studio practice or just in the mural work that I do. Just open to really any conversation that can take place.
Terrific. Thank you. And Hugh Merrill.
Hello. Can you hear this?
Yes. Yes, sir.
There we go.
You're
We're adjusting the mic here. First, I'd like to thank KKFI and for having your show on for how many years you've been on?
5 years.
5 years.
That's,
and I'd like to thank the Kansas City Artists Coalition for bringing us all together. And I've done about half as much as Michael Toombs. He's done a lot. And even less than that than Sonny and Jose. So it's a... I have always believed that in the studio, an artist can live a very private and quiet, meditative life. In society, the artist has to bang a drum and scream and yell and be deeply involved in political and social change. That the two are different sides of the human character. And I know that in the poetry that I've read by Jose and M.G. Salazar, Jeanette Powers, and other poets in town, that they move back and forth between a angry activism and a quiet understanding of life. And that is what I would like to and have attempted to do in my 42 years here in Kansas City. And we can talk a little bit more about the project I'm working with in Montgomery, Alabama, with the Southern Law Poverty Center and Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative on lynching and legal lynchings in the South, where I have family and was connected to some of that. Mm. And I think that's enough.
Wow. Well, you know, I want to begin with, I took a look at some of the conversations. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't see you. Oh, I need to move you in, Ada Koch. I'm so sorry. Everyone's pointing. It's like, what?
That's all right. I'm small and I'm hiding.
Oh, you are. She is pine-sized, but yes, very mighty. So
welcome, Ada Koch.
Yes.
Thank you. I am honored to be here today with this prestigious group, and I am a painter with the studio down in the West Bottoms. I also teach at the Nelson and some schools in the area, working with children and other artists. I am very attuned to the feeling of fear. I started experiencing it several years ago when my daughter lived very close to the finish line of the Boston Marathon bombings. And I sense it in neighborhoods and across the country for a lot of different reasons. And so several years ago, I started doing paintings that express my fear and my discomfort. I've been working with the poet Glenn North, and we've had some projects going about war and violence and love and loss. And those are important issues, and I feel that through my art, I want to express the feelings that I have, document them, authenticate them, and then make that accessible to others so that people can look at the art and know that it's okay to feel uncomfortable in these times when there's a lot of prejudices, there's crazy people out there.
Yeah. You know, this discussion that took place last month at the Kansas City Artists Coalition, there were some really great comments and a lively discussion. So if you've just tuned in today, I've got a gaggle of artists: Ada Koch, Hugh Merrill, Sunny Ruffin, Janet Simpson, Jose Faust, and Michael Toombs here in the studio to talk about, what is this thing called art? You know, what are artists thinking about this time and our history? You know, some of the comments, like I said, that were spoken during this conversation. I want to begin with something that Sunny had, and I think it will help sort of open up this conversation. She says, and I quote, "We have to create now more than ever. You never know what is coming." Sunny, can you give us a little bit more information about that statement? She says, "Did I say that?"
that is exactly what I was thinking. Well, we do as artists. I think, you know, we have a platform. We have the abilities to address things through our craft, and that creates attention. And as Jose said, you can come in and have a conversation about it, utilizing the art as the centerpiece for not only peace. Sometimes it can create a moment, a march. It can create a movement. Art has been known to do that and still does. So we have to create.
But do you think artists are obligated?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Because we're a part of the community. It is our right. It is a gift that we've been given to share. And hopefully, as for instance, with everyone on this panel, everyone does something within the community. And everyone does something with young people. Mm-hmm. So as an example to the community, it is our responsibility to utilize and be proper stewards of the craft that we hold and use it in creating controversy if necessary, or solving some problems if necessary. It's a necessity.
Yeah.
It's an absolute necessity.
Well, and I know, again, during this conversation and this discussion, I might also refer to Michael Toombs when he had said, art helps children and adults heal after tragic events. That's really important, isn't it?
Yes, it is. we're kind of in a unique situation here right now. We've been reached out to by the city of Topeka, and they're wanting to create a mural celebrating Brown versus Board. Mm-hmm. And it's right across from the Monroe School on 1515 Monroe. It's a very sensitive issue, especially in this climate. They're kind of in a unique state in that they're very well known for this case. The people in the community understand the impact of it nationally. They're wanting to create a movement around this initiative that's positive. And it's such a, you know, it was such a terrible time in our country. So we're in the process now of educating the community about the repercussions of that case, mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. it has impacted our society as a whole today, in order that they might be able to find a way to celebrate the accomplishment as a city. And they are a pretty diverse city. But the difficulty is giving everyone the opportunity to feel like they have some access mm-hmm. to this process. And so over the next few months, our goal will be to try and help everyone see where they play a role and a part in this process. And hopefully by the time we're ready to launch, we'll get a very large percentage of mm-hmm. the city mm-hmm. To the site, and get them to put a mark on this mural, which we hope will resonate for some time past the completion date. And so art does have an ability to be a bridge when people are having a difficult time figuring out how to articulate mm-hmm. the things that they feel and that they're experiencing, if it's presented in the right way. And I think what Sunny said is absolutely true. You know, the more you become in tune with your creative ability in your art, and the place where your inspiration comes from, I feel that you find that there's just no way you can keep that all bottled up inside. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point you're going to have to find ways to present that to the public in order to help them deal with some of the today's most difficult issues.
Very good. You know, we're going to take a real quick break from Art Speak Radio. We just have a couple of announcements, and we're going to come back and talk to Ada Koch, Jose Faust, Hugh Merrill, Sonny Ruffin, and Michael Toombs. We're going to be right back after this. Hello. Thanks so much for tuning in to Art Speak Radio, making us a part of your afternoon. Thank you so much for making us a priority. I'm here in the studio with Ada Koch, Hugh Merrill, Sonny Ruffin, Janet Simpson, Jose Faust, and Michael Toombs. We've got this artist discussion going on, and it all began with Janet Simpson, who's the executive director of the Kansas City Artists Coalition since 1989. Janet, welcome. You know, thank you for putting this together, but again, this is just a series of conversations that takes place at the Kansas City Artists Coalition.
Well, this one has been the most socially involved and broad in its scope. A lot of times we do have conversations, but it's about artists, their work, which can get political, social, take different realms. But this one was really geared toward asking artists, you know, what are you thinking now? Mm-hmm. Because it seems like an especially volatile time for us as citizens and as artists, because culture, as we know it, is always seems to be on the run, but it has been assaulted in the last several years. And so that's why we wanted to have this particular one.
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned, I did write down several of the comments that were made during that discussion, and I know that, well, there's some really good points that people made, but I do want to talk to Hugh, because he said people are resilient and will come back and figure these things out in terms of the political realm that we're kind of in the middle of right now. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, but let me step, context? Let me step back on that, and let's describe the difficulty of the political realm that we are existing in a very general way. If we took and looked at the arc of history from 1950 until the past election, 2016, like Martin Luther King said, that arcs towards justice. So there was reduced voting throughout the South in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. There were poll taxes. There was segregation. But as we go through the 60s and 70s, these things by the courts and by the federal government are arced towards opening up democracy for people. Mm-hmm. More people were being asked to vote. And there was no voter fraud during that age. And we all of a sudden hit this wall after the election of an African-American president. And we hit a wall now in which this fabric of democracy is being unwound. It's being undone. And as an American, if you were going to be patriotic, it's not about waving the flag. It's about standing up and doing something for each and one of these, whether it has to do with women's health, whether it has to do with these ridiculous laws of voting rights in Missouri and Kansas and other states, and we can go through a whole litany of issues. Now, to answer your question in a very short way, the individual, and there will be people who will be more than glad to tell you, the arts don't have anything to do with politics. They can't solve this and that. Well, neither can politics solve the this or that.
Yeah.
Neither does religion solve the this or that. But all of these go together, and you start from the individual up. So Ida spoke about making paintings that are about her feelings, frustrations, and fears, and putting those out for people to see. That has meaning. That's important stuff. And it's too easy to simply be to just write it off and say the arts don't matter. Individual creativity matters.
And Ada, do you want to speak to that or want to add
absolutely
to that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with Hugh that artists have to stand up and embrace what's going on. If art is what shows humanity and how we embrace it, then being an artist is not only important, but maybe a very dangerous occupation.
Hmm. Hmm.
And I think my art, I come at my paintings from two ways. One is to make people uncomfortable by looking at the art, to get some emotions going. And then the other is to calm them. So I have paintings that show children in a Target, which I think is happening more and more.
Yeah.
And then I also have an installation at the World War I Museum where we focus on poppies, and poppies as a sign of rebirth and regrowth and moving onward. So I think both sides need to be addressed.
And Jose, do you have I know you're very outspoken about politics, and I was wondering if there is a comment that you want to inject here.
You know, Hugh mentioned something about what the nature of patriotism is, and it goes beyond waving a flag.
Yeah.
And I got into a discussion with somebody a while ago, and the idea basically that I was saying is, you know, you tell me who is more patriotic. A person who comes home, puts a flag out in their house, waves it every day, and lives the privileges of their station in society, or somebody who comes from a generation and descendant from a group of people who have gone to war, represented this country, been treated as second-class citizens, come back and denied the privileges that everybody else gets, mainly because of the color of their skin, and yet still wake up every day and call themselves American. To me, that's either a deluded person or a person that really believes in the ideals that the country represents, and with the ideals of the founding fathers, as decidedly misguided as they were, because they were. They still accepted slavery and weren't able to see past that in their view. Well, that man and that woman who still struggles and still calls themselves American proudly, still sends their children to fight in wars, and still faces all that abuse just because of the color of their skin, That is a more patriotic person than anybody, if they can still wake up every day and say, I believe in America. And I think it's that narrative that needs to be told. It's that narrative that needs to be understood. And it can come in any form. It can come through art, just telling the stories of people that have done these, celebrating portraits of people that normally would not be represented. That is, I think, the radical thing that an artist does. An artist doesn't have to wave a flag. An artist doesn't have to stand on a podium and shout it. But it works. If you're a poet, it works. But you can do it in so many different ways. And I think we live in times where to stand on the sidelines is to be, what is that one thing where somebody said, you know, when they came for these people, I was silent. When they came for these people, I was silent. Well, I'm an abstract expressionist. When they came for the conceptualists, I was silent. When they came for the realist painters, I was silent. But then all of a sudden they want my art because it's in my head. Yeah, it'll come. So you inevitably we live in times where you will be cast on the other side whether you want to be on it or not. And that's just the times we're living in.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to take a real quick break. I've got to play some recorded stuff. So, and we're going to be right back with this very important conversation with Janet Simpson. We have Ada Koch, Hugh Merrill, Sonny Ruffin, Michael Toombs, and Jose Fass. Stay tuned. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. Thank you so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, or if you're listening online at kkfi.org. We love that you're here with us. Also, we love that Janet Simpson, Ada Koch, Hugh Merrill, Sonny Ruffin, Jose Faust, and Michael Toombs are here in the studio with us. Welcome, my friends.
Hello.
Oh, they sound
what a good talk.
yeah. Because you know, I think a lot of times artists are sort of looked at as exotic creatures, and maybe you don't have those conversations one on one with them, or if you're looking at their work. Sonny's like, what? When you're looking at their work in the studio, sometimes you don't really have this sort of opportunity sometimes to pick their brain. So, you know, we want to get back into the conversation. We left off with Jose Faust. Did you want to add anything more to... Did you finish your thought? Oh, look, he's like, no. right before we went to the break, Jose was talking. And, you know, I want to... you know, bring up again some other comments that were made during the discussion at the Kansas City Artists Coalition by Janet Simpson. So, Janet, thank you so much for starting this off and getting this group of artists together to voice their ideas and their opinions and their thoughts about what's happening in the world around them.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And I have to say, one of the things that I've been thinking about in general is we seem to be in the throes of what I hope will be lasting positive change, where topics that we used to embrace a little more openly, multiculturalism, diversity, whatever buzzword you want to use, were seen as positives, as opposed to now where white privilege is like in the death rattles, I think. I don't know why they're going so, you know, with such anguish into that cold night, but I just feel like embrace the rainbow, my friends, because it's all good. And hopefully it is a transition period, and that's why it seems especially violent to me. And I feel like my white privilege is front and center with me. In a way, I'm ashamed to say it hasn't been all my life. And there have been some things that have happened that I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I need to. I was so naive when Barack Obama was elected because I thought we've stepped into the light. You know, we're in this happy place. And, boy, it just got ugly fast. And I think it was always a little subcurrent there. But so many things have happened. And I think we all need to address our fears, if we have fears. If this change is frightening, I think you need to think about why. What, I mean, why? And hopefully artists can shed some light on that.
Well, I know Michael Toombs, during this conversation that we had last month at the Kansas City Artists Coalition, he said, we have to get past our prejudices and differences and come together and celebrate on the things we have had a chance to benefit from together. That's what you said, Michael.
You know, I was listening to what Jose was saying, too, and something that I think is important for artists to embrace at this juncture is, up until now, we create art to express the things we feel and to help people identify the issues that we face. But I think we're coming into a period where it's important that we approach some of the challenges that our society face and try and create unique and unusual ways to help us embrace change, to create paths with art that help people to better see what their role is in that process. You know, there's always been this thing that, you know, I'm going to create art and it's up to you to figure out what it means. But we're at a stage where I think it's important that we create art and help people understand what we all are in for, and how we can get through some of these things. For a long, long time, you know, people have come to us in society and said, okay, we have challenges, whether they be social or economic, you know, we need your help. Like in the case with First Fridays, you know, it was getting all the artists in one location to have shows and that kind of thing to get the public coming out to help revitalize downtown. Once downtown was revitalized, okay, we're done with the artists, let's move them somewhere else. But the reality is that the things that are going on socially in our society, those things never go away. And the artists are needed for a lot more than just those little sporadic moments. You know, if you really take the time and understand what we're capable of saying, not just what we're saying, but what we're capable of saying, then you might see that there's some unique ways that we can help in this challenging time. That may be one of the reasons that they always target us when they have these agendas that they don't want people to figure out. They usually come after the artists first. They want to shut us down because they figure we're the ones that are going to help the public better understand, or we're the ones going to bring it out first. If they shut us down, then they can get further down the path with their agendas. So I guess I make a call to artists to take it upon themselves to be more dedicated to not just creating art, but helping create processes that help people access it and learn from it so that we can make this transitional period a little more, a little smoother.
And I do see some heads nodding. And that brings me to the point that Sunny made during this conversation. She challenged all the artists with the studio to bring a young person or adult into the studio. Let's talk about that, Sunny. You know, you asked for artists to spend time with this young person and learn about each other.
Oh, sure. I did, but as I was listening to everything, artists have been given a gift. We, and this is my mantra, we give testimony and documentation to our very existence. And when you have the ability of sharing that with a child, what you're doing is handing over a legacy. We were handed a legacy. All of us in this room right now, and those that are listening that are of age, were introduced to segregation and created integration. Mm-hmm. And that's what art does. It creates. So as we document and as we have the privilege to give testimony, what are we leaving our children? What are we asking our children to do that would like to be able to create, that don't have a studio, don't have a place? It becomes our responsibilities, not only as artists but as adults, to help them understand the legacy, the creative legacy that they have been left, the creative portion of that. And as Michael was talking about Brown versus the Board of Education, that's a legacy. Now, we're saying to our children, there are things that you cannot do, but yet you can pick up a crayon or a piece of clay. we're asking our children to create, yet we take it out of the schools. We remove it from their very educational presence. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes the responsibility of that artist that has a studio to help that child not only understand the legacy, but create a new legacy for themselves when we're gone. You know, that's testimony. Mm-hmm. So it hinges on, you know, either we do it or we don't do it. And so I do right now challenge every artist, visual, performance, literary, to open their studios up to young people, invite them in, ask them, what do they think? What are their opinions? How would they like to create? What do they want to see? What would they like to leave behind? Because if we don't do it, then we're not going to have anything. Mm-hmm. And it is our responsibility as human beings, as parents, grandparents, as artists. That's what was given to us. So this is something that we have to do. I challenge every artist across the country, wherever these radio waves are going, to submit that privilege to children. Absolutely.
I validate what Sonny just said, because because in the sixth grade, I was sent to, when my parents broke up, I was sent to Garrison Elementary School, and I met through the school, the principal sent me to a program at the Nelson Atkins, and an artist that had retired from Hallmark, Matthew Monks, was there. And he would do classes with young artists anywhere from 12 years old up until 20, 25 years old. And he'd take them through the gallery and teach them about creativity. As a young artist at that time, I didn't have any clue of what art meant or what it could mean or anything. And Matthew had dedicated his life to this message. And if it had not been for that, I don't know that I would be on the path that I'm on today. And so, you know, I have to give thanks to Matthew. He's passed on since, but, you know, the whole foundation of everything I do was based on that artist taking the time on Saturdays, for 12 Saturdays, giving me the benefit of his philosophy, his creativity, and his goodwill. And so, Sonny, I echo what you just said. It's so important that artists understand just how powerful that studio experience can be, and how deeply it affects young people or anyone who has a desire to be creative when you open that studio and let them come in and see what the creative process looks like.
Beautiful. We're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. This is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host, every Wednesday, noon to 1 Central Standard Time, here on 80.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you for tuning in or listening online at kkfi.org. In the studio, we have Ada Koch, we have Jose Faust, Hugh Merrill, Sonny Ruffin, Janet Simpson, and we just lost Michael Toombs. Boo. But he'll be back. We promise he'll be back for a later engagement. Not today, but later on in the calendar. So we're talking about this very important conversation that artists have, you know, how they feel in this world and their place in this world and obligations and all. So we're going to kind of... I'm going to hand it off to Ada Koch. So, Ada,
okay.
I know that one of your statements that you made that I thought was really interesting was you had asked, is art propaganda?
Oh, yes. It's an interesting thought. I believe that art sometimes that has too clear of a meaning becomes political and propaganda more than creative expression. And I think mm-hmm. we have to be careful about how much artists are very influential, and we have to be cautious with that. I think it's okay to show people that we can feel uncomfortable when we're confronted with deranged excesses and prejudices these days. It's okay to feel that way. we do want to guide them towards constructive thoughts, but not in a forceful way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to say, following up what Michael and Sonny were talking about, we've talked a lot about chaos and the messes of today, and I think that we need to remember that art reveals a lot of truths that get lost in the mess mm-hmm. every day. And whether that's from a crayon drawing of a child or a masterpiece, it's important to take a look at those truths.
Any comments by the members? No. You know, I did not read this, and I thought this was kind of an interesting comment that Jose made. How you raise your children is a revolutionary act in itself. Do you believe that?
Yeah, because, sometimes it could be a delusional act, too. I mean, you tell kids, you give kids certain platforms, certain guides from which to stand from, certain things to believe, posts to follow. And yet, every day, you're faced with this idea of the contradictions. Don't lie, but here people lie. They call it spin, if it's a political mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. So there's always this sense of, you know, how do you still manage to create and raise youth that will develop an ethical system that can see through all that fog? And I think that sometimes is the problem, is we don't realize how necessary it is and how vigilant parents have to be. But not just parents, a community at large mm-hmm. raises children. Mm-hmm. There are many children that don't have, working with youth, don't have access, don't have two family, don't have two parents, don't have even a community. They live alone in so many ways. It's kind of living at the kindness of strangers. The interests of teachers. Teachers have an incredible influence. They reach out to kids. And I'm fortunate I have two roommates that are teachers, and I see that every day, the struggles that they do. I will add one thing, too. It's not only incumbent on artists to kind of be more open about those issues, but I think the institutions, the artistic institutions, to be that. And I'll give you a great example. Terrence Williams runs the Music and More Foundation. He hosts a program called Bold New Poets, and it's African-American poets, and they host the readings at the Nelson when he can. And he invites me to come along, and I'm grateful and honored to be there. And I remember this youth that came up there and read. He was reading his poetry on the stage in the auditorium there at the Nelson. And before he talked, he was very emotional. He says, you know, since I was a kid, I've walked past this building and have never gone inside. And can you imagine if my parents could see me here on this stage? And you don't think about that. I mean, I take that for granted. I walk into that building ever since I've been a kid, and I've never thought about it. But sometimes our institutions themselves are the biggest block. And I'm glad to say that the Nelson right now, under its current leadership, is really, to me, an institution that's reaching out in so many different ways. As you know, as Michael even stated, and Ada continues to do the work. And even you, Maria, were there at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Very good. You know, we're going to kind of wind down this conversation with, and it can be ongoing, and, you know, we certainly would invite you all back for this, because an hour just isn't enough, and well, I think a lifetime is probably never enough. But are there any compelling comments or statements that you need to address at this time? Point.
Well, I've kind of stuck between two or three thoughts. There's been so much that's come up here. But a while back, I was thinking about white privilege. I was thinking about as Jose was talking about parents, I was thinking about the society and how what does a society do to make for a more fair and more equal system. And that made me think this, that you know, all these Confederate statues down south and Robert E. Lee and these people come to the mic of the newscasters, white folks, and they all say, well, this is our heritage. This is our heritage. And don't take our heritage away. And I thought, all right, here's the deal. You can keep your sculptures up, but you have to put a sculpture of the history of Jim Crow leading to the election of Obama next to it. That's your heritage. In other words, yeah, this is, yeah. And I'm going to write something on this when I leave here to notate some ideas, because white privilege is not only economic, it's highly cultural. And it's the way, the lens that they want the world looked at, and that lens leaves out so much for even themselves. And until these truths are not dealt with by white folks, then we're never going to reach equality.
Yeah. Thank you. We're going to go around, and if you have any information, upcoming events that is coming up that you want to share with our listeners, website. We only have a few minutes, so let's begin with Janet Simpson, because I know there's a whole lot going on in that world.
Yes, I invite everyone down to the Artist Coalition, especially next Thursday, October 26th, and then November 2nd. We have visiting artists in October 26th. J.G. Mayer from Canada will give an artist talk, and then on November 2nd, Karina Busey from Romania will be speaking. She's an arts administrator. So there's a lot going on, and then we have four great shows. So,
and the website?
Website, KansasCityArtistCoalition.org.
Terrific. And Sunny?
So I can say something about the exhibit at Rockhurst.
Yeah.
It's called Pattern Languages. I think it's up until the 23rd, or a little after the 23rd of October. It's a part of the Charlotte Street Foundation celebration. Real excited about that exhibit.
Terrific.
So go by and check it out.
And website?
No. Facebook.
Okay.
You can Facebook me.
Yeah, there you go. That works. Yeah. Jose?
My friend Jessica Ayala is going to be reading from her book this Saturday at the Writer's Place about 6 o'clock. She's bringing in a whole bunch of different artists and musicians to kind of celebrate. And in that vein, at the end of November, I'll be reading from my new book, Life and Times of Jose Calderon, and special guests are going to be making movies. And it will be at the Writer's Place as well. But I'll give you a date later.
Yeah, and come back and share some work with us, will you? And you?
Oh, I'm not doing anything.
No, we know that's a big fat lie.
And nothing that is that you can go to. So it's nice. I'm working in studio and I'm writing, and it's a great period.
We love that. Yeah. Very good. And Ada,
I'll just give you my website. It's www.adacoke.com, and I keep that updated on upcoming events. Thanks, Maria.
You bet. And some of you are on Facebook if people are interested in learning more about you, wanting to be your friend, because social media is where it's at. So I want to thank Ada Coke, Hugh Merrill, Sunny Ruffin, Janet Simpson, Jose Faust, and Michael Toombs. Thank you all so much for coming in this afternoon, sharing your thoughts, your ideas, your energy with us in the studio. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank
you bet. You bet. You know, we're going to have to do this again. I like the full hours. That works out very well. Next week, October 25th, we've got Sydney Ross, Julie Valdivia, Mark Allen, KC Voices will be here in the studio. And so that's what you have to look forward to next Wednesday, October 25th. Stay tuned for Jeff Harshbarger next, Jazz in the Afternoon. He's a very dedicated musician, local musician, works hard, and he hugs really, really good. We do love our Jeff. After Jeff's show, from 1 to 3, is Groovy Grant. He'll be on the air at 3 o'clock. Thank you so much for listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you so much for listening and making us a priority. And, honey, I'm coming home.